CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Okay, now we're back. Welcome back to Unbranded, the show where we unpack brands and stories to discover what drives the most compelling people and how brands fundamentally impact society. Today we highlight the power of the magazine cover and the cover stars and why it is magazines are still so powerful in the digital age. I just tweeted that Kim Kardashian may have 100 million followers, but she wants to be on a cover that only has 50,000 circulation. And this is why. If she's on the cover of Forbes magazine, then that means she's been vetted. That's a part of her story that's amplified, that's elevated, that is lifted to a different sort of stratosphere. So we are going to unpack why the cover still has so much power. I call it the coveted cover. From the world's most powerful magazines, from international magazines such as Vogue, Time magazine, local magazines such as Destiny Man, can literally alter one's career. I'm joined by Indalo Media Strategic Marketing Manager, Onke Dumeko. Onke, welcome to Unbranded.
Thank you, Timothy. Great to be here.
I don't know why I'm sounding so radio-ish. Unbranded. It's really good to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I'm sure you've been on Coast Central before.
No, I actually haven't.
Wow, welcome. So I know. First.
Dude.
You've been part of many meetings that have informed some of the most influential covers in the last few years at Destiny Woman as well as Destiny Man and so forth. Do you also get involved with Salbona and part of your group?
I do get involved in Salbona. Salbona works slightly differently. It's part of our content marketing platform. So it's really a magazine that belongs to SAA. We publish it for them. In terms of cover and all of that, I don't get as involved as I do with Destiny and Destiny Man.
Okay, cool.
Because it's their decision ultimately.
Got it. So you're going to take us behind the scenes. We're going to have some really interesting conversation about what happens, how the covers are decided. Have there ever been any fights about who should be on the cover? We're going to have some fun. And towards the end of the show, we're going to give some tips on how to actually get on the cover. But I want to really set this conversation up because for me, it's really, really interesting. When I look, for example, last year, December 2015, Norm Pendulo, her cover, it was voted for one of the top covers. It created loads of controversy. Mm-hmm. Terry Petto has been on the cover a number of times. How many times has she been on Destiny?
Three
times. Mm. You've got... Last year, Elle Magazine's April 2015 cover impacted feminism in an amazing way. GQ put AKA on the cover, really sort of reshaping hip-hop internationally. Covers can shape elections. They can shape public sentiment about climate change, race, music, and so much more. A cover is simply not just a cover. Let me give you a quick sort of case study. There's a great sort of look. There was a case study done on why Newsweek went out of print and then they came back. So check this out. It's quoted, "In our judgment, we have reached a tipping point at which we can most efficiently and effectively reach our readers in all digital format," Brown said in an announcement. "This was not the case just 2 years ago. It will increasingly be the case in 2 years ahead." Then something unexpected happened. A year later, IBT Media bought Newsweek. Brown stepped down. And just 14 months after going out of print, the magazine returned with new editor-in-chief Jim Impolko in charge. Newsweek announced its rebirth with a cover about the elusive founder of Bitcoin, depicting a mass figure against a dark background. It caused a media firestorm, with the subject of the profile denying he created this currency and the reporter fervently defending the account. People were talking about Newsweek again. It turns out the magazine hadn't done all it could. It's simple as that. Covers brought it back to life. And as Time Magazine's design director, D.W. Pine, put it, "I still feel like the power of Time Magazine cover is because we print it. The power is that we take the time and energy to craft the image. And you have something to hold in your hand.
As a memory.
Absolutely. As a memory, as a track record of history.
Absolutely.
And as whereas social media is fleeting, it moves on. I like what Kanye and Bao said about it. She says, "A cover is a celebration of one's commitment to their craft."
Absolutely.
Right? So, you know, this conversation, we're going to explore the entire dynamic, the process, what goes into the cover, how one can consider being on the cover. If you're just tuning in, I'm Timothy Maurice, and this is Unbranded. I'm so glad to be back in the studio after a few weeks of traveling, and we have Ms. Onke Dumeko. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. Onke. But Onke. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, I'm
I'll
close.
Give the twang.
Take me back. Take me back to before you started working with Indalo Media. What were you doing?
I was working at Brand South Africa. I was working there in the marketing team. Before that, I was working at Colgate-Palmolive, selling toothpaste, basically, in the marketing team there. So I always wanted to work for a magazine in some form or the other.
Okay.
I think I have over about, like, I don't know, 5,000 that I've collected. My collection is quite strange, ridiculous. But so, yeah, that's what I was doing. And then I started at Indalo. Last year, in April.
So you were sort of thrust into this sort of media world. Mm. You work very closely with Kanye Lomo, mm-hmm. and you have seen it all. I mean, you're working at the highest level. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you in, because as sort of strategic marketing director,
manager,
you wear a number of hats in your role. And yes. I've seen you rotate your hats. We call that code switching. But I've seen you rotate your hats, and you've got a very fascinating sort of view on so many different sides of the business.
Mm.
So that's why I wanted to have you in. So thank you for joining us. So take us behind the scenes. Who sits at this coveted table to debate who will be on the next cover?
Well, it's actually a long-term process. It's about a 3 to 5 month process because, I mean, when it comes to print, lead times are very important. So we work, everything is 3 months in advance. So it starts with the editorial team kind of brainstorming and coming up with the brief for the entire magazine, you know, not just the cover. And then we sit in a wider meeting, which has everyone from myself and marketing to the sales team, to the online team, and Kanye, obviously, where we kind of debate and discuss who has, you know, the whoever we want to be on the cover. And it's nice because at Indalo we have the luxury of having kind of a diverse team, which is diverse in race and ages. We have a lot of people on our team who reflect the demographic, and then you have kind of, you know, people who are a lot older, and then you have your younger millennials. So it's great to kind of bounce off ideas off of such a diverse group. I think the process fundamentally has to answer the questions who, you know, and who never stands alone, who is always, it always goes with why, you know, and who and when. And when is also two-pronged. So when is sequentially for us in the year, because we always kind of backtrack in our minds, you know, January was Carolina Herrera, you know, February, Dumi Borage, March, you know, and we go down and we drill down and we figure out who makes sense for this month or, you know, for the month coming up.
Yeah, sure.
And then also for them, as the cover star, does it make sense for them? Because really it has to, you have to respond to the question, what's in it for us and what's in it for them?
Okay, but let's go back a bit.
I
appreciate that wonderful insight. But here's what I want to know.
Yes.
I want to know what comes first. The chicken or the egg? I mean, at the end of the day, the theme of the magazine, is that decided first, or is a cover star, the cover person, the cover image decided first?
Well, I would say the theme, because our covers, our issues, we have a calendar for our issues, you know, as I would imagine a lot of other magazines do. You know, we have to be cognizant of the fact that there's something specific that we're celebrating in a month. So, for instance, in November, for Destiny, it's the birthday issue, and it's our Power of 40 issue. It's Power of 40 for Destiny and Destiny Man. So we celebrate, you know, 40 men and 40 women under the age of 40, who are just, you know, bold and distinguished, beautiful and powerful in their own way. You know,
so the cover person
destiny.
Needs to be
so
the.
For instance, for that issue, it needs to whoever we put on the cover needs to reflect that
power.
Absolutely,
yeah. Got it. Okay.
So I would definitely say that. Yeah.
So when we see a November issue,
mm-hmm.
you had a meeting about this issue probably in what, May?
Yeah, probably in May.
In May. Wow. And does that have potential, because things are moving so fast?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, somebody, before you decide, they could actually fall apart by the time the cover
absolutely
comes out.
It happens. Look, I mean ideally you want to pin down everything 3 months before and shoot them and, you know, package it all well, But I mean, it happens that, you know, we plan to, you know, have someone on the cover and everyone kind of has that same idea in their mind. And from a marketing perspective, you plan things and, you know, the sales team plans. But things happen, you know, covers that we expect to happen and we plan to happen don't happen for whatever reason. People drop out at the last reason, at the last moment. Or what we do is we look at what's happening at the time and what we think will have impact for a couple of months, if not years ahead. And we switch things up literally at the last minute, which is what we did with Nombendula's cover, which you mentioned earlier. You know, it was a nightmare at the office trying to get her on the cover that quickly. But it paid off, you know, and we believed in the decision at the time. And I mean, I was listening to her last night talking to Minister Blaine Zimande and basically pleading with the president
to come back
to be on the same page about the struggles students are facing, you know, when it comes to fees. So, I mean, she was on the cover on our December 2015 issue. And exactly what she was talking about then is still relevant now. And, you know, I don't think the relevance is going to die down anytime soon.
But so, you guys got a lot of flack for that. How did you manage that internally? Because there was a lot of people like, well, she's not the only one. Why isn't that a group of people? Blah, blah. You guys, there was a lot of interesting, yeah, sort of intense sort of debate around it. How did you manage that? Is there, do you guys have a meeting? What happens?
So, I would say that there was a lot of engagement around it. I wouldn't just say flack because a lot of people were for it, you know.
Yes, of course.
So what was great for us is that we got people talking, is that people engaged. And that was critical for us. That's exactly what we wanted. You know, we wanted that talkability. Internally, we just, we believed in our decision and we still do today. And we decided how we were going to respond to the media frenzy, and we all kind of aligned with our responses because we all believed in them, and it's, you know, it's a response that we all shared internally and discussed internally. So that's how we worked around it internally. But it, you know, it wasn't, you know, we weren't like crying and like, oh my goodness, what's happening now? And this is what they said about us on NN7 or whatever. No.
Because you're hearing both sides, you're able to develop a healthy sort of perspective.
Absolutely. And we're a media platform as well. So we know how other media works. And we know what they're going to jump on. So it wasn't a stress for us at all internally.
Got it. Okay. So have you ever been in a meeting where people get super angry? There's different opinions that cause a absolute uproar.
Look, I wouldn't say uproar. You know, if there's anything we try to do a lot internally in our meetings when we discuss the issues on the covers is consult. So the process of consultation is very important because, I mean, our team is diverse. I spoke about it earlier. So you're not going to please everyone. Not everyone is going to – I mean – I haven't been there for 10 years, but 9 years since Ndalo began in 2007. But in the time that I've been there, I can remember very, very few instances where everyone around the table was like, great, we all agree he should be on the cover. Great, we all agree he should be on the cover. There's always that one person who's like, but guys, what about this? And have we thought about this? And will this person still be relevant in 2 months? There's always, you know, there's always someone playing devil's advocate, which is good, which is healthy.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of those kind of heated discussions, yes, people have fought for covers, quite strongly, but you know, I can't remember a time where anyone wanted to pull out anyone else's hair or whatever.
Got it. Okay, no. Cool. Can you share an example? Can you share an example of a powerful cover that you and the team thought would do really well, but it just did okay at the retail?
Look, my perception of did okay is not everyone else's. And I'm responding to you from a PR, from a marketing perspective. Yes, you can look at numbers and say we expected this person to sell, I don't know, X thousand, but they only sold, you know, Y thousand. But at the end of the day, it's not necessarily a disappointment for us. Because you need to accept the fact that when you decide to put someone on the cover, there's a reason why you're putting them on the cover. You've thought about it quite long and quite extensively. And if it didn't do necessarily well, whatever your version of well is, you know, there's so many different reasons why it couldn't have done well. Maybe it was the way the cover was shot. Maybe it was the way the cover lines, the font of the cover lines. You know, it could be a myriad of things. And the thing is, we don't sit there after every cover and have a focus group and say, tell us what was wrong with this cover. You know, there just isn't the time to do that.
Yeah, but this is a business at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
If
it's
you're
a
meant
business.
To sell a million it's and a you business, only sell half, that's an issue. That has to be an issue, right?
But also, I mean, with covers like that, I mean, there's some covers which we've taken a risk with. And some of those covers, you, even the ones we've taken a risk with, we would have expected them to do really well. Because of the way that they're shot and they're fresh or whatever. And our audience, you see, it's not that the audience doesn't necessarily like them, but sometimes when you give them something different that's slightly offbeat, it takes some getting used to kind of get them back and have them understand what you're trying to do. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is you can't necessarily say it didn't do as amazingly well as we thought it would do.
Because you measure doing well.
Because,
on
you know, doing well is it's
relative.
It's relative.
And doing well could be creating dialogue in the community. It could be shifting, promoting, etc. So it's not just sales
at the
bottom line.
It's not just numbers. It really isn't just numbers. And I mean, I keep referring to this Nombendula cover, but there could have been an expectation to sell X amount of copies. And it did do well, right, in terms of sales. But what was more important was the conversation around it, which it would create, which is what it did, you know.
Got it.
And also as a brand, if you never knew what Destiny was, you knew what Destiny was after that.
Got it. Okay. And has there ever been a cover that you didn't personally think was going to do so well, but then it flew off the shelves?
I would say Phuthi Mahanyele's cover.
It just
when she did the she was on the cover of Destiny in August 2015.
And you thought it was a good cover, and you thought it was, you know,
quite
nice cover.
Personally, and I love Phuthi, and she knows that. But personally, I didn't like the cover. I didn't. You
oh
know?
Wow!
Because I mean, you go around the office, and you know, before the magazine is finally put together, people vote. You know, because at the end of the day, we do work at a magazine, but we also know the brand and we are also consumers of magazines. So everyone's opinion matters. Everyone's opinion matters. And personally, I didn't like it. I just thought I wasn't, it was very out there for me. But, again, it's, you never know what people are going to think, and people loved it. People loved, and also, when you vote for a cover, when you look at it from one perspective, you might just be looking at the layout or what the person's wearing or their hair or, you know, the color combination, the color scheme of the cover. But your reader is looking at the fact that she's being open and bare and telling her story about how she had a stroke and she forgot everything and she needed to start from scratch, you know?
And do you think
And that was what, you know, held it all together, and that is what I think made it fly, you know, off the shelves. And also, people just love her. So sometimes, you know, the strong of your personal brand, which you know so much about, it doesn't matter what you look like on a cover. It will always exceed anything. And people's idea of visually appealing is different.
Okay, I get it. Now this is interesting for me because, you know, when you start thinking about, you know, going behind the scenes, I mean, you've really given us fascinating insights because, you know, what I really wanted to accomplish in this show is two things. Mm. I want people to realize that covers still matter. And number two, I want people who feel like they want to be on a cover to be able to take something from this conversation. Mm. Okay. So let's take one step back. I want to know, you know, the actual process. What does the average person do? Are you guys just going through social media? Are you looking to see who's trending? Are you calling your friends? Who do you think? What for everyone around the table who's deciding who should be on the who they think should be on the cover? What informs your thoughts about who should be on the cover?
So I think there are various things that inform that. Some of them you've mentioned. We definitely look at social media. It's just a quick reference point in terms of research. We are a media house, so it's relatively easy for us to keep people on our radar and keep a track of what they're doing. So we definitely do that. What's happening in the news on a daily basis? You know, we also, in terms of looking at people on our radar, we keep a track of what's happening in their career. You know, the positive and the negative stuff. You know, stuff that, you know, even if we think someone is amazing, you know, sometimes the negative stuff We have to think of how it could impact the Destiny brand if we put them on a cover. And so there are various things that we look at, you know. And that's what happens when you're looking at someone. If someone is on your radar, you look at everything, you track everything, you track their, and social media is, you know, does that very easily for you. I mean, you can just look at someone's Instagram page and it tells you quite a lot, you know. But also it's about, it's conversations with people, you know, it's a very small world and, everyone knows everyone. So inside scoop is not hard to get. So while someone may have, quite a positive image in the public, you know, there could be a lot of stuff that we know about them
behind the scenes
that's not really there out in the public. And it's not that you hold that against someone. At the end of the day, you have to look at someone's achievements. You have to look at, you know, what makes them impactful, what makes them stand out from the rest of their peers on a national level, if not a global level. You have to look at those things. But your cover has to come across as being as authentic as possible. So you can't put too much makeup and powder on a cover star. That's just not reflecting what they think they are reflecting.
Got it. I mean, you're speaking of just sort of the image of the cover, as well as sort of metaphorically their real life story. I mean, if you look at recently True Love cover with Lerato. I mean, that story really sort of put a lot of conversation on the table about body shaming.
Mm.
And I'm imagining for them, I mean, that was a really sort of, could have been a good and bad thing for their brand. It'd be interesting to see how they measured it as well. But before we go to break, I want you to take me through the meeting. Let's say it's 10 a.m. on a Thursday morning. And, you know, you guys sort of, I don't know who, someone welcomes everyone to the meeting. Is it very relaxed? Is it very formal? Who puts out the first suggestion for this particular cover? Take us into that meeting, 10 a.m. Thursday morning.
Okay. So I'd make it slightly earlier, about 9:30 or 9. Kanye will, welcome everyone to the meeting. And the meeting is comprised of the editorial team. So Sheena, deputy editor on Destiny, Tabiso Dema, editor of Destiny Man, Richard Goller, managing editor, you know, Claudia, who's our features editor for Destiny, and then, the wider team as well. So I'll be there from a marketing perspective. There's a sales team who's involved. There's a digital team, you know, so our online content writers and as well as the social media team.
So you got up to 15 people in this meeting. Close to 10, 15.
I mean, it could be even more. It depends on the day. We have the people who work in the art department, our art directors, our creative directors. It's quite a, you know, people who work on our lifestyle shoots, our production team. It's quite an extensive team. From time to time, people who also work in our events department. What the editorial team would have put together would have been briefs. So the briefs are basically a synopsis, short summaries of each feature in the magazine, right? So whether it's a cover or whether it's an investigation piece, it's just a short synopsis to give everyone around the table an idea of, you know, exactly what that feature is going to be about. And we discuss, you know, each feature. They kind of give a top line approach to, in this issue, this is how we're approaching it, and this is our investigation piece, this is our cover, this is our cover story, this is the reason why we want this person on the cover, this is the reason why they make sense for us, this is the reason why it makes sense for them, and we could shoot it in quite an interesting way. I mean, when we had Black Coffee on the cover of Destiny Man this year, I mean, also Nelson Magama, we've had some really interesting and out there covers, especially on Destiny Man this year. Our Nelson Magama cover was incredibly out there. It was beautiful, though. Iconic. Where he, you know, had his face painted, you know. We knew it was going to shock the market. It was definitely a risk. And, you know, the Black Coffee's cover was also very artistically intelligent. So, yeah, so it's a very diverse conversation. You know, this is why we want this person, and we want them for this reason, and this is how we are thinking of shooting them, you know.
Before we go to break quickly, have you ever had an idea of somebody you wanted to be on the cover, but you were shot down quickly?
Yes, I have, and I'm not going to say who. because
how does that feel to be shut down?
No,
to say, look,
it's fine because you know I know how to reason things. You know, I mean, if you're talking to me personally, I know how to reason things. So I knew I was going to be shut down. So I knew I had to say it in a very specific way, and I think the person is still on. She's still, you know, in the list of people we could possibly feature
in
and cover
future. Okay.
In the future. I'm still sticking by my guns. I think she'd be brilliant on the cover, and I think it will sell really well.
All right.
Need
awesome.
To think about your consumer.
We're chatting to Anke Dumeko about the power of covers and cover stars and how they can influence society. We're going to come back. We're going to offer some specific tips on how to get on the cover. But more importantly, I'm going to share with you some examples of how covers have physically influenced and shaped society.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
All right, we're back on Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're chatting the power, the sheer, unadulterated power of being on the cover of a magazine and how covers can influence society. We're chatting to a strategic marketing manager at Indalo Media by the name of Anke Dumeko, who worked very close with Kanye and the entire team at Indalo Media. And I would like to say that the brand Destiny Mag, in specific, I think is bigger than any sort of cover star. And I think if you think about brands like Vogue and Time Magazine, they're enduring brands. The brands are bigger. But at some stage, do you guys feel like you're using people? Do you feel like you're using stars to promote your brand? Has that ever, star ever felt kind of cocky and like, why should I be on your cover? I mean, look how big I am.
Yes, I mean, I think that happens from time to time. But you know, sometimes when that happens, in a couple of months, they come back to you and they end up asking you for a cover. So, that's just the honest truth. So I don't think that we are using people in any way. I mean, from a marketing perspective, being on the cover of a magazine is, you know, incredibly free PR. It doesn't get better than being on the cover of a magazine. So, if you're thinking of kind of, you know, below the line media, so, we're definitely not using people, and it can be a launch pad for your career. It's an incredible PR platform for you.
I spoke to one of my friends, Amanda DuPont, and she had a very sort of fascinating view of the covers, and she felt slightly different. She feels like it really is about you as a sort of individual, sort of adding value to a magazine, because in this era of social media, she says if you're into a business, it's fantastic free marketing, but for advertising, your own products to be mass buyers on the market and reeling in future brands you would like to work with, you let future clients know where your headspace is at. Choosing the right covers, however, is key, and limiting the quality of them to only the best. However, they are not necessary. Social media has now dominated the media space, and one can thrive on that medium alone. Mm-hmm. Since my growth in my career, I realized that my acting is as great as just as my last scene. Nurturing your craft is the one thing besides prayer that could get you what you can do for your career. Business, well, that's a different ballgame. Covers falls under the category of organic advertising. I thought that was just interesting sort of perspective because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of sort of influencers out there who genuinely feel like at the end of the day, they don't necessarily need a cover anymore. And that's why I wanted to have the conversation because, you know, if you think of some of the more iconic covers of Hillary Clinton and what it's done for her journey as a president, how sort of, you know, comedy, Trevor Noah being on the cover of Time Magazine and what it said about comedy's role and being able to influence the entire presidency of one of the biggest countries in the world. I feel like we are at an interesting space in history where covers either still have influence, but some people feel like their social media has and their own personal brand has more influence. Mm. Is there an example that you feel like where getting them on the cover is more an advantage to you than actual the individual? Can you think of someone?
Well, I mean, I think if you... There are people who have personal brands which have existed long before, your the brand of your magazine has, right? So perhaps in an instance like that, what's in it for whoever speaks more strongly to the magazine than it does for the person, you know?
Got it.
I mean, if we were to put Beyonce on the cover of Destiny, actually shoot her and whatever, you know, and also because she's in that instance, obviously she's, you know, American based global star. So she may or may not be, familiar with Destiny. So, in that case, obviously it would probably be more in it for us than it is for her. So, I mean, I do think there are instances like that. However, I don't necessarily think that it's, too much of a negative thing or should be looked at in a negative way.
Got it. And there's still some sort of collaboration happening.
Yeah. And I mean, for someone to, especially if you were to shoot someone like Beyonce, for them to agree to be on Destiny when they've been on, I don't know how many covers of how many magazines, it speaks a lot to, the power of your brand, and that, you know, it's taken seriously.
And does it ever come a point where people sort of, there's fatigue around people's brands? They have a strong brand, but they've been on so many covers that people are tired.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, that's where when I spoke to about, when I mentioned, we consider who and we consider when, and when is two pronged. That's when that comes in, you know. So someone may be great and maybe, you know, it may be a no brainer to feature them on the cover of Destiny or Destiny Man, but, timing wise, in terms of their career, it just may not be ideal. You really don't want to give people fatigue.
Got it. And then in instances like your magazine where there's an idea that you're targeting professionals, mm-hmm. how do you find that balance between getting someone who's well-known, mm-hmm. a celebrity style that can kind of like push buzz around and get magazines moving? Because mm-hmm. There are extraordinary stories out there of no-name people who have no social media presence, who are doing incredible stuff. I interviewed on my CNBC show recently a scientist, one of the world's top scientists, but no one knows who she is. Mm. Would that be a risk to put her on the cover?
Well, you know, we look at various things when we think of cover stars, and the cover stars basically have to fall under two pillars. They either have a really strong business profile or a really strong lifestyle profile, or ideally both. I mean, if they have a lifestyle profile, we kind of have to bring in the business story. Otherwise, it's not a Destiny. It's not authentically Destiny. So in terms of someone not being famous or not, you know, having an Instagram account, it's not to say something like, you know, we'd shut down the deal. But I mean, I'll use, for instance, Norm Keita and Gweny, who we had on the cover of Destiny in October 2015. You know, I mean, she's a corporate it girl. You know, she's, a kind of banking, someone who's doing incredibly well in the banking sector. And who a lot of people have been mentored by, who a lot of people look up to. She just hasn't been, you know, that type of public business or corporate profile. You know, she's kind of kept her success rather insular. But the impact of her success, you know, is quite vast. And exceeds that of her peers on a national level. So we definitely do consider people who are not necessarily famous. It's not about only being famous. And in fact, fame is not even something that we consider in that sense. You know, it's about impact. What impact do you have? Are you, you know, what type of, you know, are you excellent? You know, because I mean, those are the values which speak to Ndalo Media as a company as a whole. You know, in terms of how we try to positively impact lives, there's certain values
sure.
that speak to that. So excellence is definitely one of them. Impact is one of them. Integrity, creativity, style, substance. So if the person can answer to those, you know, then they're definitely a consideration. And public profile, yes. But a certain level of influence, yes. So someone like her, who's the scientist, who doesn't necessarily have a public profile, would probably work on a cover like Time magazine if she came up with the cure for something, you know, that we've been trying to come up with the cure with forever. you know, we still need to be cognizant of the fact that our readers have to have some type of understanding or you know, there has to be some type of association when they see you on the cover.
Got it.
You don't necessarily have to have been on, you know, their Instagram newsfeed or, you know, on SABC One or whatever the case
but,
may be.
But it's a bit of balance.
Yeah, there's a it's a balancing act. Absolutely.
There needs to be some business, some... Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Okay, awesome.
But so, you really need to be someone of impact. It's important. It's very important.
Impact is the key word.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I wanted to sort of shift a bit, and I want to talk and give people some tips, some practical tips. If you want to position yourself for the cover and you're looking and you're hoping and your dream is to be on a cover. I mean, I can think of some examples of some friends of mine who have made it to the cover. This is not name dropping. This is just thinking about, you know, through my career, people who I met before they were on a cover and after they were on a cover and how it impacted their career. And one example is Claire Moisa.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before being on the cover, I mean, I've always seen her as a sort of a serious professional.
Mm.
But I remember sort of the being on the cover sort of signal a shift in her career. And I look at her now and, you know, being on Carte Blanche and how she's taken on many sort of, you know, big sort of challenges in her career. And I think it helped elevate. Have you seen cases where someone was on the cover and it really sort of helped reposition them in a way?
Yeah, definitely. I'm just trying to think of one now.
Okay.
I'll respond to that question now, but I think that the repositioning, I mean, we spoke earlier about, you know, do we use people or whatever? And I said it's a great PR platform, which, you know, that's exactly what it is. So a cover does definitely serve in many ways as a launch pad for someone, as a launch pad, and also helps to, if you're trying to relaunch yourself or relaunch your brand or tell your story differently to the world, it certainly helps to do that. If I were to think in terms of destiny, there are probably so many examples. They're just not coming to mind now.
Well, while you're thinking about it, I also chatted to Namzamo Mbata. Mm-hmm. She says, being on the cover of magazines is the same as brand partnerships. But in this case, it's the sharing of your life which builds awareness and career growth.
Absolutely.
I thought that was really interesting because ultimately it is about a bit deeper in terms of a partnership. And in this day and age, if someone does have a large social media following or does have an intimate network in a business circle, let's say, for example, you are extremely well known amongst the top business women in the country.
Mm.
You may not be known on Instagram at all, but in that network, they will now find sort of favor with the brand and so forth. So I love the idea that this is a multifaceted, multidimensional conversation that's not about just being famous.
It isn't about being famous. And with what you were saying now about how it can literally launchpad you or change your career or open up doors for you, it can also reposition you. You know, I think when we had Gail Mabalane, just to respond to your previous question, she was on the cover of Destiny in February 2015. And the way in which she was shot was a way in which I think at the time people hadn't really seen her. You know, she was launching her her personal care brand, Bodylogic. And she wanted, you know, we knew her as, you know, someone who'd previously been on Idols and an actress and all of that. But she definitely wanted to create show the world that she was a businesswoman and a serious
grown
one at that.
Woman, yeah.
And that's exactly how we shot her. You know, and it's an issue which did incredibly well. Very simply shot, but it was kind of, you know, very high fashion as well, but it, you know, it showed that she was serious and she was serious about her business and serious about fulfilling her destiny, especially when it came to being an entrepreneur. So I think for her, that cover definitely helped in terms of creating that perception that she was a businesswoman. And I think, you know, there've been many others like Nomzamo, who you mentioned. I think it depends a lot on the person's career at the time. And also how they understand what it means or the value of what it means to be on the cover of a magazine, because being on the cover of Destiny has to mean something. You know, Anna Wintour always says that being on the cover of Vogue has to mean something. When it comes to the tips and giving the people tips about how they can be on the cover, I think first and foremost, you need to ask yourself as someone, who wants to have that as a dream, why do you want it?
Okay.
You know, because in whichever goal you have, whether it's being on the cover of a magazine or whether you want to lose weight, whatever it is, you never ever forget your why. And if your why is not founded on something concrete and solid, then you're doing something for the wrong reasons or for reasons which really don't impact other people other than yourself, it could be quite difficult to get to that goal.
Do people, this is what I want to know, this is almost like beside the point, but do people still email you guys and suggest names of people they want to see on the cover?
They do. I mean, our readers are very vocal and we respond to that. I mean, for instance, a lot of people suggested Caster Semenya to be on the cover of Destiny, and we did reach out to her. So we do listen to our readers. We did reach out to her, but at the time she was unavailable. So we definitely do. I mean, it's important because your readers are the ones that kind of help also shape the future of the brand and shape, you know, the road it's going to take. And you've got to listen to them. And they're very vocal. They're very engaging. Every time you put up the cover on a Monday, our covers, issues always come out on mid-Monday in the month. You just sit and you look at the, you know, Facebook comments. Love her, love this cover. Don't love her, but I like the cover. You know, wouldn't have expected her, but this is great. You know, thanks for giving us something new. So, yeah.
And going back to this idea of whoever you put on the cover, you know, they can actually end up sabotaging things. I mean, I look at yesterday, was a lot of buzz around Casta, for example, how she said this fees must fall thing is almost, I don't want to quote her, but I think it was something like she was angry. She's like, students need to go back to school, et cetera. And people are coming down and like, look, we sent you to the Olympics. This is taxpayers' money. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's just such a fine balance between, you know, who you choose, what they could potentially say, what they could potentially do. But I think, you know, the big thing I'm taking away from this conversation is that when you guys decide internally, you kind of have to kind of stick with it. And it's a process that's much deeper and so forth. So before we close out this conversation, we want to give you some specific sort of tips. And I'm going to put on my personal branding hat and I'm going to start this conversation. We're kind of going to go back and forth, okay?
Okay.
And you tell me if I'm wrong. Please check me. But the first thing I think is that I think you need to stand for something. So if you want to be on a cover and you believe that you deserve to be on a cover and you believe that you want to leverage a cover to sort of shift your career and elevate your career, the first thing I think we're going to try to give you 7 tips. Stand for something beyond just your career. Represent a philosophy that society needs, something that influences society. I think for me, and when I see people on the cover and I think about Demi Moore, when I think about you know, some of the more powerful covers of Muhammad Ali back in the day that really reshaped how people thought about various causes. Stand for something beyond just your career. And if your career links to a cause, that's great. But I think standing for something deeper than just what you're doing is vital. I think would help your position.
I agree, and that I mean that speaks to impact. You know, you've got to, whatever it is that you stand for, you know, ideally has to benefit people, you know, greater than yourself. If you are on the cusp of, you know, some cultural phenomenon, and you know, that definitely makes you stand out from the rest of the crowd, and it definitely gives an indication that you stand for something. I mean, this year, in June, we featured Tony Gum on the cover of Destiny, right? Now, Tony Gum, to people who understand what's happening in the black millennial space, particularly in the art world, you know, in the world of art, they'll recognize her, they'll know her, you know. They'll know that she's also previously been recognized by Vogue. And she stands for, you know, holding advertisers, you know, kind of challenging them as to exactly what they churn out with a lot of their advertising, you know, and that's how she creates her art, you know. So if what she stands for is creativity, which is what I think she stands for, you know, value of Ndalo Media. So if that's what she stands for and she stands for it so authentically, and distinctively, you know, it's a strategy for success.
So the next
part of a strategy.
The next tip is have a vision for your career and know where you're going. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to want to let people know that if you, in 2017, mm-hmm. in the first quarter, at the first quarter of 2017, you believe you have influence and you're going to be launching something that's going to be very relevant, that would help the brand, that would aid in sort of that sort of partnership, then by letting them know, I think ahead of time is going to be an important tip. But who would they email? Who do they let know? How, if you want to be on the cover, who would I, do you look in the magazine and get the email address? Who do you contact?
You contact the deputy editor of Destiny.
Okay. So you look in the front of the magazine, find the email, and then you send them an email.
Yeah, and you send them an email. I mean, I think though, before having a vision, you kind of need to know what you want. So you stand for something, but in standing for something, you have to be very, very clear about what you want out of life. Be very, very clear and specific. Because
yeah, but if you're thinking about being on a cover, you kind of know.
No, but I mean, but being on the cover is not, it's got to transcend beyond the cover. It's not just, do you know what I mean? It's not, yes, it's a goal that you want, but everything has to, things have to have synergy. So if you're talking about having a vision for your life and knowing what you stand for, you know, you kind of have to know exactly what you want out of your life and be quite specific.
Okay, cool. So we've got to wrap this up. But I want to say that in my sort of experience in observing Destiny and observing other magazine covers, people who are different, who dare to be different, people who are influencing society, people who know what they want, like you said, people know their what, why, where, they are very, very clear. Any sort of final sort of comments in terms of, you know, if someone is dreaming of being on the cover, what they should be thinking about?
I think about what a cover means to you and what it could mean to other people. Don't think of this just as a print magazine. Think of it, you know, Timothy, you spoke earlier about how, you know, when you hold something, you know, when you hold a physical magazine, you're holding a piece of history. Think of it as something that's exactly that. Think of it as something that's iconic, because that's what it is. It'll live beyond, you know, it'll live beyond anything else. So I think, yeah, what I spoke to earlier, you know, impact is very, very important. Your story has to be very, very compelling. So be willing to share a part of yourself that you haven't shared before, and be willing to share a part of yourself in the way that you know is going to positively impact other people's lives.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anke Dumeka, Strategic Marketing Manager at Indalo Media. We really appreciate you joining in.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Tim.
Awesome. We want to shift now to our cyber health feature with Rianette Lebowitz, who's on the Skype call, and we're going to join her now as she shares with us tips about thriving in the cyberspace. Rianette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What a fascinating conversation, and welcome to the Cyber Health feature for this week. I'm Rianette, and I'm so glad you are joining this conversation, because I've got some interesting statistics to share with you. But first of all, I would like to invite you to please join us on Facebook. You can go to SaveTNet, and it's spelled SaveTNet, because we save lives by creating awareness for responsible digital engagement. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rianette, RIANETTE. This week, I'm excited because on Friday, it's the Rage Expo. And the Rage Expo is all about computers, technology, gaming, and geek culture. And I'm looking forward to seeing what ASUS is doing there. We're also working on the Digital Education Show Africa, which is coming up in 2 weeks' time. So much happening in this space. And one thing that I'm really excited about is statistics that we received from Kaspersky. Now, we work with partners like Kaspersky Lab, who's a global security company. And let me ask a couple of questions. Do you really know how safe or unsafe it currently is online? And how many people run the risk of falling victim to cyber criminals today without suspecting it? And how many have fallen victim already? So to assess the situation, Kaspersky Lab has launched its Kaspersky Cybersecurity Index. Can you believe it? We need a security index. The first global index to measure the current cyber health and cyber threat levels faced by internet users. So they looked at things like how internet users behave online, what their concerns are, what issues they face, and how they defend themselves against possible threats. So the Kaspersky Cybersecurity Index is based on this data collected from thousands of people and users across the globe. The index combines three key indicators, which are measured every 6 months, and the last time they measured it was in August this year, 2016, and they actually have these three categories. The first one is the concerned indicator. This shows the percentage of people who believe they may be targeted by cyber attacks. This indicator shows the degree which users realize the danger to which they are exposed. The second one is the affected indicator, and this is people who have been affected. They actually have fallen victim to cyber attacks. So, for instance, they have faced data leakage or extortion online. The last one is the protected indicator, which shows the number of users who have installed a security solution. So these are the guys who actually do realize that there's a risk. Now listen to this. According to the data, only 1 in 5 users currently believe he or she is threatened by anything online. At the same time, almost 1/3 of users have fallen victim to cyber criminal schemes. For example, 8% have had their accounts hijacked, and 22% have had their devices infected by malware. However, only 60% of users have installed security solutions on all their devices they use to access the internet. And the index really demonstrates that today, many users underestimate the cyber threats. So I heard someone say the other day, you know, it happens to the neighbor. But guess what? You are someone's neighbor. So we don't want you to fall victim to these things. So to learn more about the index and view its indicators for different countries, the ages and genders, and to find out more about the behavior of users online, you can visit index.kaspersky.com. And it's currently available in English only, but it's really fascinating information. So again, we urge you, look at your security settings as you wear your seatbelt when you drive in your car, and as you have, you know, security at home. Make sure that your devices are secure and enjoy the cyber highway. It's a fun place to be. We encourage you to have fun and push the boundaries, but just be safe. So thank you from my side, from RearNet at SafetyNet. We hope to speak to you soon, and please interact with us. Have a fantastic week.
Awesome. Thank you so much, RearNet. And we are really grateful for those of you who are tuned in and who download the podcast on a regular basis, who are following the story of Unbranded, going behind the scenes to see what is really driving the most sort of compelling stories and narratives and brands that shape our world. And for those students who continue to fall, who fight for Fees Must Fall, your story, your narrative is being sort of written right now. And you, I encourage you to keep sort of your truth and keep fighting for your truth as you fight for free education. We're behind you. We're going to have a show coming soon about how Fees Must Fall is reshaping the narrative of South Africa and brand South Africa. Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you joining us today. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.